This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on the A-Team.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Hello and welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast. My name is Connor Kilpatrick and I am here with Ron Richards.
Hello, Connor.
And we are talking about the A-Team.
The A-Team movie. We weren't sure if we were going to do a podcast about this.
But we decided to do it.
Why the hell not? Hell, there are A-Team comics being published right now. It's a little crossover-y, you know?
Plus, you might be surprised to notice if you go to see the film that it's produced by Top Cow Productions.
Yep, Mark Silvestri was an executive producer, I believe, listed as that.
So yeah. Apparently they have the movie rights to it. So there you go. I saw that. I said, perfect. Now we can do it and not worry about it.
Doesn't explain why Top Cow's not doing the books, though.
That is a good point. Who knows? We do at fanboy.com. Normally we talk about the comic books for the week. Every once in a while we like to talk about the films that come out, the comic book related films. And since there are A-Team comics, as Ron just alluded to, here we go. Let's talk about the A-Team.
Yes.
Now, you were a big fan of the A-Team as a child?
Oh, absolutely. Rob? Oh, absolutely. Childhood memories of watching the A-Team and loving the antics of Face and Murdoch and tolerating BA and wondering who this old guy that was with them was, the late, great George Peppard. But loved it. I loved the whole run of the show. Loved everything about it. Loved the one and doneness of every episode. The military fugitives who will help you if you can find them. It's up there with the great 80s action shows that just really, like, honestly, The Human Target is like the closest to it now.
Yeah.
Like, no show.
Yeah, absolutely. The fun action, the funny action. It's kind of like Burn Notice. Actually, there's a lot of those USA shows are kind of in that similar vein, but there's no more network shows except for Human Target.
Yeah.
I'm actually reading something interesting today. At its height, and this tells you how different the TV landscape is now and between 20 years ago. At its height, 40 million people a week watched A-Team.
Wow.
Which is nowadays a huge show is 30 million. That's like a rarity.
That's like a finale, or that's a big deal.
CSI in its heyday, or American Idol in its heyday. But 40 million people a week watched that show.
Wow.
I was a big fan. The theme song is one of the all-time classics. We talked earlier in the year about The Losers, which was the film based on the comic book from Vertigo. And
which had a lot of A-Team comparisons, you know.
It was sort of a homage to the A-Team. So yeah. this was an interesting year because we had basically two of the same film, and the idea in this film is similar to The Losers somewhat, and similar to the original TV show, in that there's this group of Alpha Team, A-Team soldiers who are in a unit, and they get framed for a crime they didn't commit. And then they have to try to clear their names and capture the bad guys. That's basically the plot.
Now, going into the movie, I was somewhat tentative, or, you know, kind of somewhat scared, because I didn't know how they were going to play it. Like, I was afraid that they were going to play it tongue in cheek and, you know, kind of self-aware and be like, we know we're doing this 80s movie, and kind of send-up-y kind of style. Like, that was my worst fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy to see they didn't do that at all.
Well, if there was a Exhibit A for balls to the wall filming, this would be in that on Exhibit A. This is Joe Carnahan wrote and directed it. Well, lots of people wrote it. It was like,
Well, Stephen Cannell was involved too, right?
He was a producer.
Yeah.
Although probably just because he created, but he was involved in producing it.
Yeah. He's aware of it.
Carnahan makes big time action films. He started with Narc, that sort of small indie film, which was really good. And he's done Smoking Aces.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Well, I'm gonna go out on a limb. We're gonna say right out of the gate, I can't find anything wrong with this movie. I had so much fun. I had so much fun watching this movie that as soon as I got out, I texted you and I said, you've got to go see it, because you were on the fence whether you were gonna go see it, and we weren't even sure we were gonna do the podcast. And I was like, fuck, you gotta go see it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I think that's what you come away with. It's not. Yeah. It's not Shakespeare, and it's not penetrating the human condition, but it's so much fun.
Right.
It is fun from the opening scene to the end scene after the credits. It is fun all the way through. I mean, it's funny. It's action packed. It's over the top just enough so you're in on the joke. I mean, it's almost a cartoon in real life form.
Yep.
But just enough where it's not ridiculous. At least too ridiculous. I mean, it's the original show was kind of cartoonish. This is kind of cartoonish. I mean, this is ridiculous stuff they do, but it's so much fun to watch. You don't care.
Yeah, I mean, there was heavy comedy in the first series mainly with the Murdoch character, with the crazy pilot character that played by Dwight Schultz.
Dwight Schultz.
One of my favorite characters of all time, by the way.
Murdoch.
And Dwight Schultz himself. Yeah, right. As Murdoch, he was just so good. But so that there's the comedy element were there. And I found it fascinating how they were able to balance this to be – they reposition the origin. I thought it was interesting. Really, I'll get to the nitpicks in a little bit. But they reposition the origin. They show the team come together. They establish them in, like, now, like 20 years after, you know, the 80s. Like, they gave them a believable way that they would operate. You know, like, they worked in Iraq and they worked in, like, the current state of the world. And, like, the action and the military and all that sort of stuff was there, but they were able to weave in the comedy in a way that was natural, that was seamless, that didn't seem forced.
I think, what it came from, at least what I was watching and I thought, is that it seemed like everyone was having a great time.
Yep. Yep.
And whether or not they did or not, that's the feeling that came through. Everybody from Liam Neeson to Bradley Cooper to Charlton Copley, not so much Quentin Jackson, who apparently didn't have a good time, but everyone else seemed like they were having a good time.
Yeah.
And that rubbed off on you watching the film. Even your buddy Patrick Wilson, who played the Lynch, the CIA agent. He seemed like he was having a good time. So everyone seemed like they were having a good time, and that made you feel like you were having a good time.
Yeah, Jessica Biel wasn't having a good time, but I think
she was the hard-nosed character. But
yeah,
even then, it just felt. I mean, I know someone who knows someone involved in the production. They basically. They were making it up as they went along. And good for them, because they came away with a film that was pretty cohesive.
Yeah, yeah.
It tracks pretty well.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they're having a good time coming up with it as they went along. So
yeah.
For me, it was just so much fun. And I think right now that's what I needed.
Yep.
I needed to go to the movie theater and laugh and be like, that was crazy.
And that's exactly what this was, right? I mean, like, you know, from the over the top action sequences, like what we saw in the trailer, the tank scene was just was, and I was a little annoyed because I felt as if like the punchline of that was given away in the trailer. But that tank scene was so worth it. Was so good.
And it makes no sense, and that's fine. It doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be fun.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of film you have to reset your expectations and. And to me, again, this is similar to what we said about The Losers. To me, this all rested on the main cast,
yep.
who I thought were great.
Yeah.
Quentin Jackson wasn't, you know, of all the ones, not a professional actor. He's a fighter.
Yeah, but I don't think he was.
And he was fine. He wasn't as good just delivering his lines occasionally. He had trouble getting them out.
But
other than that, he was fine, though.
Compare him to Mr. T.
Right.
I mean, Mr. T wasn't fucking Laurence Olivier in the 80s. Right. I mean, like, he barely, you know what I mean? Like, he, you know, and so I thought Quentin Jackson was fine. I mean, for me, if you're looking at the A-Team itself, I thought that, Charlton Copley, whatever, nailed Murdoch. Like, he stole the show. Like, he was great. So he was my favorite. And then after him was Bradley Cooper's face. I thought he nailed the suave, the face man of the group, you know, like he did, he totally was channeling Dirk Benedict perfectly. I still struggle with Liam Neeson in the Hannibal role.
Really?
I don't know why. Is it because the fact that I know he's Irish and like, it just, I don't just see, and like, and I guess I put Liam Neeson on like the Kenneth Branagh level for some reason. And whatever.
Yeah, but he's sort of redefining his career as an action star now.
Completely. Which I wouldn't know. I was like, really?
I liked him. Yeah. I mean, I remember when the cast was announced, Bradley Cooper's face. Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Charlton Copley as Murdoch. Yes, that makes sense. Yep. Random fighting dude as BA. Yes, that makes sense. And when they announced Liam Neeson, I was like,
Yeah.
But I liked him a lot in the film. I thought he was really good in the film. And I think he brought a level of intensity. I mean, he's a great actor on top of everything else. So in that sense, when he had intense scenes, he was really good in them, I thought. Yeah. So that really level, you know, upped the level of acting. And I didn't have a lot of expectations going in, and I think all of them were blown away because I wasn't expecting anything.
Yeah, and it was like you said, it was just a fun time at the movie. Now, and like I said earlier, like I we were joking. The guys I saw it with were like, "This might be a perfect movie. This is like this, is, you know, because if you look at it, you know, like and not like on the level of like Citizen Kane or anything like that, but like it you know, it's an action movie. It had action sequences that were fun and exciting. The comedy was good. Like the story wasn't hackneyed or unbelievable. Like it kind of like it could make sense that, you know, the things that you were left in the dark and then the twists that you saw happen got explained. You know, I didn't have any like huge questions. My I alluded to earlier, my only nitpick was in the opening sequence, which shows like the origin of the team. You have Hannibal and Face running an operation in Mexico, and at the same time BA is a car thief in Mexico who's released from the army and, you know, on dishonorable discharge, and happens to be driving by in the fields of Mexico, and Hannibal tries to carjack him and turns out sees his Ranger tattoo and goes, "Oh, you were a soldier?" And then like that, like really, like that was the only thing that was like, that's a little hard to believe. But
that was part of the whole idea of that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, true.
The whole Hannibal's whole philosophy. Yeah. I really like the device of, because Hannibal's character is the ultimate planner. He's got all the plans, and there may be strange plans, but they always work out. I like the way that they did that, where he would narrate his plan to the group, and he would have a little board with the fake models and little people, and then while that was happening, they'd cut two of them actually doing it. I thought that was a really nice device of showing Hannibal who he was and how he did things, plus the actual, you know, execution of his plans.
Oh, the execution of the plans were all that. That was always the fun part, and like that's also, if I had another criticism in terms of the being true to the TV show, there was one plan that involved them. You know, what I loved was like when BA takes apart a truck and then turns it into a tank, and like all like the welding and all that stuff like that. And they had a couple of scenes like that where they were prepping for the plan. And my only thought was that these plans and what they did were more believable than armoring up an old Oldsmobile so they can drive out, you know, like.
They also never shot anyone ever on the TV show. Yeah, so sure, they had to change things slightly.
Yeah.
They did that in the end of the final plan with the boat. They do a lot of welding and melting of things,
and there was a little bit of welding when they're like, with the whole operation that got them framed, like he was welding car pieces and things like that. So I just would like a little more of that. That's
my only nitpick, but my only thing I didn't like was they were making sure that everyone got this movie, so everything was laid out on a
explained
platter.
Very clearly.
If a guy showed up later in the film referencing something that happened, they cut back to that scene.
Yeah,
like a lot. So they were making sure that no one from the dumbest person in the dumbest part of the world could understand what was happening, and that was a little bit like, all right, give us a little bit more credit than that. But it didn't take away too much from the proceedings. Seemed like here's Morrison. Yes,
right.
He was only in the film 30 minutes ago. I didn't forget who he was. Yeah. Didn't have to cut back to that. But
and like you said, Patrick Wilson as the CIA agent. You know what I thought was fun, was weird, was they started off being serious CIA agent-y kind of guy, and then as the movie went on, he was like wacky eccentric CIA agent guy, which I.
Like Max.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but which I thought was a little weird because it like came out of nowhere, but it was, he did it so well and it was so much fun that it was cool. Like, I love this idea of these CIA agent guys who are all powerful and can do whatever they want, you know, like that. And then when things go wrong, it's just seeing them freak out. But I thought it was very Max, like some of the parallels, and like the fact that the end scene happened at the LA docks, like it did in the Losers.
Yeah, it's
like,
really bizarre.
Really similar, really kind of similar. But one of the reasons why I texted you and told you I had to see the movie, irregardless of the podcast, was, did you enjoy the cameo at the end of the movie with the CIA agent?
So there's a scene after the movie.
No, I'm not talking about
after
that.
After the credits,
I mean. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it before the credits roll, after everything happens, the climax happens, and they're at the LA docks, the CIA agent comes and cleans up Patrick Wilson's mess.
Don Draper shows up and cleans up the mess.
How great was that? Yeah. How can a movie be bad if John Hamm's in it?
It's true.
That's my point.
She walks off a helicopter with his hair blown in the wind and sunglasses on. And you're like, oh.
On behalf of the CIA, I apologize.
Someone's going to clean up the mess and sell you an Oldsmobile.
Yep, exactly. I think I shrieked. I was like, ah!
I feel like I have to buy a Kodak
carousel
now. I don't know why. I feel like I need to do that.
He nailed it. He nailed it great. But then, if you haven't seen this yet, go see it and stay through the credits, because there's a little Easter egg for TV show fans.
Well, it's funny because when I heard there was a scene after the credits, I was trying to not figure it out, but thinking, what could it be? Because that's what I do when I hear that. So as the movie's going on, I'm thinking maybe they'll do like they'll redo the opening with the new people and put that after the credits. But then they did that before the credits, which was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool.
So then the after credit scene is a deleted scene feature. Two scenes that took place in the middle of the film, both featuring two of the original cast members. One of George Peppard, sadly, is dead. Died many years ago, so he couldn't obviously be in the film. And I think Mr. T is probably distancing himself from.
Well,
him.
No. Well, I think I read an interview with Carnahan months ago, and they said, "Is Mr. T going to be in the movie?" And he said, "I can't say anything." I think they tried, and similar to the Shatner Star Trek thing, it didn't work out. And if they had gotten Mr. T, I was half expecting the ghost of George Peppard or some sort of reference to George Peppard. But so what you had is you had Bradley Cooper going to tan himself and ask a question of the guy who just gets out of the tanning bed, and it's Dirk Benedict, who looks like hell, by the way.
Well, he's old. That's what happens. So he looks better than I'm going to look at that age.
Yeah,
so that's
true, yeah. And then so that was kind of a cute little send-up of the two faces talking to each other. And then there's a scene where Charlton Copley is as Murdoch is getting electroshock, and he's loving it. He's like, more again. And then it cuts to two doctors discussing it. One of the doctors is Dwight Howard, who played
Dwight Schultz. Dwight Howard is a basketball player.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dwight Schultz. Who? how did I know that?
I don't know. I'm surprised you made that reference. I'm stunned right now.
who Dwight Schultz, who played the original Murdoch and pulled a couple of Murdoch faces, which is funny. Yeah. So yeah,
no, that was really nice. It's nice to see those guys. I was hoping for Mr. T, but that didn't happen. That would have been
the coup de grace. Yeah, yeah. So, but
for me and the people I was with and the workers and nobody stayed but us because I knew it was coming. So it was me and the guys working at cleaning up the
nice.
Theater.
Nice. I don't know. If they make another movie, I'm there. Like, I want another movie.
How is Charlton Copley not going to be the biggest star in the world after this and District 9?
I have no idea. He's great. He's fantastic.
Like, he steals everything.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
He really was, I mean, the impression, the Braveheart impression.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
and he was very funny. Yeah. And he's sort of effortlessly funny. And yeah. it was really fun. And Bradley Cooper was great, too. I mean, there's a reason why he's a movie star now.
No, Bradley Cooper's great. I'm a huge Bradley Cooper fan now. After The Hangover and this, I'm all about Bradley Cooper. Not in a straight way. But which, by the way, no, I mean, in a straight way. By the way, he is shirtless in a lot of the movie.
If I looked like that, yeah. I would never wear a shirt.
But
I'd go to court not wearing a shirt. I'd be turned away from restaurants.
I loved when they get they get the book thrown at them, and they get court-martialed, they get sent to prison, and then Hannibal, you know, decides to go clear the name, and the breaking them outs were – all the various breaking them outs were awesome, but the best one was breaking out Murdoch of the mental institution in Germany with the 3D glasses. That was great.
See, that could have been the opportunity to reference George Pappard. They could have had the movie feature him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Greater
Just
Escape.
Just like in Incredible Hulk when they referenced – what's his name? Who died.
Bill Bixby.
Bixby.
Yeah. So,
just a lot of fun. I mean, this is totally. I don't want to say turn your brain off because that's dumb, and this movie's not that dumb.
No, it's escapism. But
just go to if you want just a big, funny, loud action movie and you want to be entertained. This is the movie so far of the year.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this was so much fun. I would totally see it again in the theater. It was, you know, to the Ron's dad test. I talked to my dad today. I said, you got to go see it. So, it was just go 2 hours of action and comedy, and that works. It's not, you know, don't roll your eyes at the A-Team and don't be like, oh, this 80s, they don't have any original ideas. Like, it's a good idea. It's a Stephen Cannell's had a good gem of an idea back in the 80s, and it's nice to see it resuscitate. And I also like that they didn't hang on to the past. Like, you know, in the beginning of the movie, B.A. has the black and red van, and they get rid of it in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. Like, just get it back, put it behind you, you know? It was great. I loved it. I'm so glad I saw it. I'm so glad you saw it. Totally outshined my expectations. So definitely go see it.
Definitely. I hope we get more. It's getting its butt kicked to the theater right now, but hopefully it'll shake out with enough money to make a sequel. If you saw this movie and you think, wow, I'd like to see more A-Team, and you have Netflix and you have streaming, they've got the entire series on Netflix streaming.
Yeah, so go do that. And also, if you like these kind of incarnations, actually the comics we were talking about on our other podcast, the comics aren't too bad. IDW has the license, and they've been doing little one-shots about the characters and stuff like that. I would check those out. You know,
the character issues that were tied to the movie with the movie characters on the cover, those are the good ones.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, this was just. I'm glad you made me go. I mean, I was gonna go anyway, but I'm glad you told me to go. It was.
And I wanted to do this podcast, so it was great. So if you saw the movie, go to ifanboy.com and go to the post about this podcast and tell everybody what you thought of it. If you disagree with us, I know we're probably gonna get a lot of flack because it has like a 52% on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff like that. But I don't care. I had fun.
I've seen nothing but good reviews for it in the papers and things that I read.
Yeah. All right.
Like Entertainment Weekly gave it a B+. It got a good review in the paper.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it worked.
It's just fun.
Yeah. Exactly.
Something you said about a fun action film with a charming cast. That's basically what we said about The Losers, but I think this took it up a notch.
Yep. Yeah. This outshined The Losers a little bit, I think, but only in a sentimental factor.
And they're also different. They're also different films, sort of. Well, not really, but they're different kinds of tones to those films.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. So
everything else is kind of the same.
Cool. So if you have any questions or comments, shoot us an email, contact@ifanboy.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/ifanboy. And our next movie will be next week, right? Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex rides in the theaters next week. See what I did there? Rides in the theaters. Good, Gatling gun good horse.
Good. Well, Gatling guns, maybe.
I'm fearing that Gatling gun horse will be the new Luma Fate.
Yeah, the Luma Fate makes no sense. I can understand the Gatling guns attached to your horse.
Yeah, maybe the rising the dead with his touch is the new Luma Fate.
Yeah, that could be. I don't understand how a horse wouldn't buck and run with a Gatling gun attached to it shooting.
It's heavy,
but
isn't it? Yeah.
Let's deal with that next week.
Yeah. All right.
Not get ahead of ourselves.
So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor. We love it when a plan comes together.
Absolutely.